But today, what we do want to talk to you about, and it is understanding faith, it is part of the message of faith, and that is faith and love. And the big idea, the big goal for all of us to understand is that faith works by love. Faith works by love. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Faith working through love, or faith working by love. So what we could say when we look at that second half of that verse, of that faith works through love, is that faith doesn't work without love. Have you ever thought of it like that? And it's not a hard thing to understand, because see, if we don't love God, I mean, you know, we're not gonna be going out our way to serve God. But it starts with faith. You have to believe in Him first before you can love Him. But when you believe in Him and you accept Him, you will have the God who is love. In 1 John, it tells us that God is love. You will have Him come into your being and make you a whole new creation, a new spirit being, spiritually alive, and that the God of love dwells in you. And so you will naturally be able to begin to love God. But if you got to believe in God, and then when you believe in God, then you got to love. You got to develop that love, just like you do with human relationships. It's an ongoing thing. Love relationships, they continue on. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus," Jesus Christ, "and love one another as He gave us commandment." So we see that the person of faith is going to be a person of love, and that we're called to believe in His Son. And then we're called, because of that love, to love one another just like Jesus loved everyone. So when we invite Jesus into our heart, then His love should start to flow out of us, and that His love can work through us toward others. You know, I've said this many times over the years, but I just absolutely love it. Is an old Dr. Dobson, when he had the radio broadcast many, many years ago. This is probably 20-something years ago when I first heard it. He talked about a kid who was wanting to have some help, and I don't even remember what the help was, the circumstance, but he says, I need some help, and the parent said, you know, I need this to happen. I need, you know, basically a prayer answered, and the parent says, you know, You can pray, you can believe God, or, you know, something to that effect. But the kid said, yeah, but I need somebody, or no, I think it was they were afraid, that they were in fear. And we talked about faith and fear can't occupy the same place. So the parent, trying to train the child to not be afraid, said, you don't have to be afraid, and you don't need me to come in the middle of the night over and over, because Jesus is with you. And the kid said, yeah, but I need somebody with skin on. You know, he's still at that point. I need somebody with skin on. You know, they knew that Jesus was real, but you know, they couldn't see Him. I need somebody I can see right now. And you know, God's love can manifest. We're Jesus with skin on. We're the image of Christ, reflecting His glory, His image, and His will, letting His love flow out of us. That's why He said, "The works that I do, you will do also." So we continue to do His works, His ministry of love, His ministry of blessing other people. So you see how important it is for faith and love to go together? Well, we have a lot of scriptures on this that we'll share with you. And let me take you to the Gospel of Mark. And I'm going to read some different parts of this just for time's sake. We'll start with verse number 13. That should have been 13. They have 23 in there. There we go. Mark 12, verse 13 says, "Then they sent to Him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch Him in His words. So Jesus is doing ministry. The religious people who had power and influence were feeling threatened. And so they, amongst the religious elite, so to speak, they sent Pharisees and Herodians to catch him in his words. They wanted to trap him. They wanted to trip him up so that they could point a finger and say, hey, you don't have any business listening to this guy because of his, you know, failure to answer properly. And for time's sake, I'm not going to share what he said and his great answer. But dropping down to verse 18, when the Pharisees and the Herodians didn't succeed, it says, then some Sadducees, who say there's no resurrection, came to him, and they asked him a question, time's sake. He answered them wisely. And after answering them wisely and putting all of these leaders to silence, it says this, then one of the scribes came. Now, the scribes were the people who transcribed the Word of God. You know, they didn't have printers back then. They didn't have printing presses back then. So the way that literature words were had longevity and could pass from generation to generation and go, you know, spread out, scribes would work very diligently to read and write exactly what the source was and make copies of it by hand. And that was scribes. Scribes were a respected religious leader because when you're doing that, you get to know the word, you know? And so they were respected amongst the leadership class as well. And it says, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them well, the scribe asked him, which is the first commandment of all? So this scribe isn't coming to trap Jesus. He has perceived that Jesus answered the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees very well. So he wants to ask a sincere question, and he says, what is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment? Or you could say the greatest commandment, which is the first, the most important commandment. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Lord, I'm sorry, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. This is the first commandment, that there is one God and that you are to love him, not just with mental assent. And that the soul does need to assent and acknowledge that he's God, your mind. But first and foremost, you're to love him with your heart, your spirit, who you really are, and with your soul, your mind. Love him. Meditate upon him. Think about him. But also with all of your strength, you are to put action to that faith. Because, see, faith is a verb. Biblical faith is to do something. It manifests itself. It's action. Faith and love are both, in the biblical terms, they're action verbs. That when we believe, when we truly trust in God, we act on that belief. And when we love people, it's not just in word, it's in action. We'll manifest that love. And so we're to do it with every bit of our being. And then Jesus said the second, he didn't ask what the second commandment is, but Jesus said, and the second is like this, or the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Wow. Love God with everything in you, every part of your being, in complete totality, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says that those two commandments, there's no other commandment greater. Another passage, you know, you'll fulfill everything. Now listen to what the scribe said to him in answer. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all of the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Wow, this scribe was really tuned in. And he wrote, and as he wrote, he knew that the sacrifices were important. That they were something that would get us to the great sacrifice that was going to come, but they were important in dealing with mankind's sin. But they weren't complete. But he also wrote and knew that the Lord says He didn't delight in the sacrifices of sheep and goats, of, you know, a shedding of that blood. When it was just, and the context of that was when it was just done mechanically, without any feeling. It was just being religious. But there was no repentance. He says, I don't delight in that. That purpose is to deal with that sin, but part of dealing with sin is the repentance that prompts you to do the sacrifice. And so when the Pharisee heard this, he said, you know, this is bigger than all of that. And that was a big deal. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." He really was zeroing in. Jesus said, "You're so close." The only thing he had to do is learn to put that faith in God's Redeemer. "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And of course, it just says no one after that dared ask him a question. You know, God's telling us to put Him first and to put others second. That puts us outside of second place, doesn't it? And part of our neighbor can be our immediate family, by the way. You know, so you can say, you know, spouse, but you know, you can look at your hierarchy, but you could just say in this context, loving others, so that's spouse, it's children, it's relatives, but it's neighbors, and we've learned about a neighbor, what that is, not just our physical next door neighbor like we think about. That's what's important. And that when you do that, it's you know, Jesus said it covers everything. And so putting God and others first is of utmost importance, and this is what it'll do. Putting God first and putting others first will produce in our life sacrifice. It'll produce selflessness. It'll produce service. It'll produce separation, like separation from the world. And it'll produce sanctification. So we give you five S's there. Putting God and others first will produce sacrifice, selflessness, service, separation, and sanctification. This is important because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll serve me. And so when you truly love with biblical love, it's going to produce these things. Christianity is not a spectator sport. I don't know if there's a football game being played today. I know everybody's getting excited about the Super Bowl coming up, and we always use this time of the year to collect food, and so encourage you to do that before Super Bowl Sunday, and then on that day, we're going to have a fellowship of food and fun right after the service, and that's great, but football games are being played, and the biggest sporting event, other than maybe the Olympics, but, you know, the biggest professional sporting event in the world is still the Super Bowl. and people get excited to watch. But see, we watch and we have our we analyze, we criticize these professionals. Oh, he should have done that. He should have zipped this way instead of zagged that way. He should have done that. Or I can't believe he didn't catch that. he should have caught that. Well, we wish he would have caught it. But when you have a 200-pound or 250-pound solid muscle person that's in your face and trying to get between you and that ball, it's not quite as easy sometimes as we think it is. And when you have the pressure of literally, you know, tens or hundreds of millions of people watching you, makes it even more difficult. Well, Christianity, you know, and so there's a difference between the spectator who really, when you think about it, what does that do other than stress you out emotionally? God calls us as Christians to be participators. We're to be on the field. Let me say that again. The works that I do, you will also do. Jesus said, I'm going to my Father. I'm going to be there. But I want to live and I want to work through you. And so we have been left here as believers in Christ. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Together, we all are the body of Christ and to do what he would do in this world. We're the Jesus with skin on. And I would say that the reason why he went on to say, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. I don't think you're going to do greater than raising people from the dead, you know, getting people that are lame to not walk, to start walking, lame all their life, you know, the blind eyes open, the deaf ears open. I've seen some of those miracles in my own life. Raising of the dead, somebody that was dead, prayed over him and come back to life. They were declaring him, my own father, declaring him dead, prayed, and he went and took a breath. And then I was able, in the middle of that night, that was in the evening, in the middle of the night, to lead him to Jesus Christ. And then during, you know, which that was technically the next day, later that day, he went home to be with the Lord. He wouldn't have. God, in his mercy, did what he said he would do. These signs will follow you, them that believe. It will follow them that believe. And he did that. I've seen deaf ear open. And I've prayed over somebody and their one eye that was blind was open. They could see again. Haven't prayed over somebody that was in a wheelchair their whole life and couldn't walk. But he wasn't talking about the miracle. And I'm only saying that happened in my life, not that it makes me special. I'm saying that those things, those type of miracles will happen in our life. So I just want to make sure you're not thinking I was trying to brag on. Well, I don't have any power to raise anybody from the dead, no matter how much I want a dead to come back. You know, I don't have any power to get people healed in that sense. But God's power working through us can do that. But all of us can do that. And that was the point. If it didn't come out clear, I want to make sure it does. Because I know I don't have that. But all of us are to do that. And see, when all of us do those things, the same kind of miracles Jesus did, don't think we're not Jesus, so we can't expect amazing miracles to happen. Winning somebody to the Lord, leading somebody into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and praying with them as they enter into the kingdom of God is such an amazing thing. What an incredible thing. All kinds of things that God wants to do in us and through us, just like he did in and through Jesus. The reason why it's greater is because all of us can be doing that. So Jesus might be in Galilee, or, you know, in Samaria, or he might be in Jerusalem, might be, you know, just in any of the cities that he went. He might be out in the country on a mountain, you know, and doing works. And he was doing that there. And when he was there, he wasn't in Jerusalem doing it. But see, through us who make up the body of Christ, we can be doing those same works, those same miracles, all over the world. And that's greater in proportion. And so to love God and love others is to let the love of Christ, the love of God, to flow through us. It will cause us to have manifested in our life, once again, sacrifice. See, we'll put others first. We'll put the needs of the ministry, the needs of an individual first. And that comes with also, and we'll give of our resources. And really, in sacrifice, you could say that a whole lot. And our praise. But then selflessness is really that putting others first part. Service is finding your ministry. See, faith and love working together is going to cause us to find our ministry. And what do you mean by that? You mean I've got to go to Bible college? No, by all means, no. Your ministry is just the call of God on your life and how you are to serve Him. The bulk of the body of Christ, the majority of believers, 99%, are not called to pulpit ministry. But we're all called to ministry. We're all called to service. So when we love God, service will begin to manifest. So what we need to do in loving Him and seeking Him and saying, Lord, I love you so much, I just want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I love you so much, I want to be in your perfect will. Lord, I love you and I want to please you. So what happens is we say, what is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? And you'll find opportunities. And you'll find often certain giftings and anointings He's put on you that you can do. But it just starts with the obedience to just start where you're at. Look for opportunities to serve. And then there's separation. Loving God and loving others will cause you to retreat from the world. And that's the world system, the world, the ways of the world. It doesn't mean retreat from contact with the world. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He didn't separate himself from contact with them. He separated himself from the world's system, the law of sin and death, the temptations of the flesh within in the context of this fallen world. So we separate ourselves to God in His service. And then in doing that, we will have sanctification, which is an ongoing process of God's cleansing, regenerating power that's continuing to transform us more and more into His image. We're set apart and we're holy for Him. Faith and love, they work together. So pressing on in Christ will produce a tested faith. See, when you have an initial faith in Jesus Christ, that's just the beginning of a journey. It's not the end. So many people have prayed a prayer, and they're counting on that prayer like they purchased a ticket. And then they go on to live their life selfishly, the opposite of everything of the five S's. They continue to do things their own way. They're still their Lord, their own Lord. And really, in doing that, they've made, and Jesus says that very strongly in another passage of Scripture, that you are of your father, the devil. If you're not of me, and God is not your father, then you have a different father. And so it's so important. And so faith will be tested for longevity. Is it genuine faith? Is it lasting faith? Are you finishing the course, finishing the race? How many of you ever, you know, probably none, but it might be. Is there anybody in here that ever tried to run a marathon, but you didn't finish? Nobody? Anybody ever tried to run a 5-mile race or a 10-mile or anything like that? And didn't run? Yeah. I've ran a marathon. It is hard, and I understand why some people will start and they find it's very hard. There comes a point where it really gets painful, really gets hard. Even running cross country, you know, 3 miles, it's physically painful, but you have to endure it. You build endurance, you build a strength, you build a resistance of ignoring that pain, and you can break through and run through that wall and really experience some amazing joy in that running. But faith in Christ, it'll be tested because it's a marathon. It's pictured by Paul as a marathon. And he even said at the end of his own life, I have finished the course. It's been laid out for me, and I have finished it. I have kept the faith. So faith, you're being tested. The devil's going to see if you believe what you did. He's going to try to get you to turn away from the Lord throughout your life. We all have challenges, don't we? But we're to keep the faith. So pressing on in Christ will produce a tested faith, a strong faith. It's like you test a sword. You know, they temper a sword and they'll test it. You know, to make sure that it's good. And so they'll make sure that the process to temper it made it hard and it'll be effective so that they don't just give it to a soldier in battle that goes out there and they hit the next person's sword or their shield and it just breaks. So you test it. You test a horse. You know, they say, we'll test them. We'll train them and develop them. We'll break them and test them and then we'll, you know, start using, working them. But it'll also produce visible love. Genuine faith in Christ will produce visible love. So it will be tested. And it will need to have some self-discipline. That's part of that testing. Keeping the faith is self-discipline. You have to keep the faith. God's not going to keep it for you. He'll keep you in his right hand as long as you are determined to stay in his right hand. And the visible love will manifest. And how is that visible love manifested? In your works of service. In your good works that the book of Ephesians tells us that he created us for good works. Revelation 2:19 says this. I know your works. Love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. So what we see here is your works, your acts of service, as a result of being a believer, your love, that service, you know, doing it, your faith. And that service, the act of love, those works come out. So what are the key ingredients in here? Love and faith. You need patience with faith. We talked about the importance in understanding faith, that faith produces patience because we believe God, but not everything we believe God for, not everything we pray for, not everything that God's even spoken to our heart and said, this is what I'm going to have you do in your life. Manifest the next day or the next week or the next month. So we have to be patient in our believing. That's keeping the faith. And so faith and love are the key ingredients. Patience is what keeps you in that. And it produces in your service the works. He says, I see that you started, but you have been patient. You have kept the faith, so to speak. You've continued on. And I see your works, you know, and he's kind of saying it like this. I saw the works you did when you first started, and I see the works that you're doing now. And the works you're doing now are greater. You have grown. So what, and Jesus is commending them. He has some things to challenge them with that are serious, but he's commending them for making some progress. So what is the will of the Lord? To have faith and love and to be patient, to continue on, and to grow in it. Your latter works are greater than your former works, your first works. So in other words, you don't just pay your dues and do the minimum that you can get by with. Just pray your prayer and maybe go to church twice a year, you know, and say, okay, Lord, you know, the old image people have, you die and you go to St. Peter's, you know, there's no Peter at the gate or anything like that when you go to heaven, by the way. But you go up there and it's like, well, let me in. I prayed when I was in vacation Bible school when I was, you know, six. Went to church a few times over the years, not every year, but tried to go, you know, once a year or twice a year. I know I missed 10 or 20. But I believe, you know, and I want to get in there. That's not what it's all about. Faith and love are a growing thing, and it will manifest itself, and it will increase, and that's what Jesus is pointing out. Now, this is Jesus talking. Pastor's just trying to get us to do things for the church and serve and everything. I exhort you to do those things because you're living out your faith, and we're all called to do that, but it's in your interest, not mine. But this message wasn't tied to the volunteering thing. That will come as a result of hearing this message. See, I believe that God's challenging all of us to spend some time in reflection and say, Lord, I believe in you, and I believe with all my heart, and I do love you. And here we are on the 12th day of this month. So we've read 12 chapters out of the Gospel of John so far. The goal being to get to know Jesus more. And how many of you can say that as you've read these chapters, you've heard the words of the Lord? You've heard of the things that he did. And you see he's tying those things as a reason, as a justification for your faith in him. Of course, now he's starting to look towards that cross, as we read today. Maybe you haven't read your 12th chapter today, but he's moving that direction now. Not quite halfway through. Oh yeah, we're over halfway through. It's 21 chapters, so today's 12, so we're over halfway through, and we're going to get there. But you know, the result of this is we're getting to know him better. I mean, that's the goal, to think about those things. Think about this real person. Don't just read it religiously out of, okay, I'll check my box so I can say I read my 21 chapters. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to get to know Jesus better. And what will happen is you'll love him more. You'll be amazed at who he is. But you'll also discover, because if you're not spending time reading his word, getting to know him, then you're not separating yourself, and you're not separating yourself from the world way of thinking. You'll start to believe in the Jesus that the world is painted and portraying. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible. He was strong. He was solid in the doctrine. He was solid in the truth. He was the truth. He wasn't going to be mamby-pamby about it. He wasn't going to try to water it down. He spoke the truth. He did it in love. And see, we get to see that. So that when somebody says, oh, well, no, Jesus wouldn't do that, say, you don't know who Jesus is, clearly. And how can we say that? Because we do know who he is. Because we have read and let that fill. And you never stop. Faith and love are the two essential components in here. They're the roots of our entire worldview, our entire way of living. They're the roots of Christianity, faith and love. A Christian's love for Jesus will not grow of itself any more than your faith will. Your faith won't grow unless you're feeding on the Word of God. Your love for God won't grow unless you're feeding on the Word of God. Because His Word is His voice speaking to us. It is anointed. It's given by inspiration. It's different than other books. I love to read. I've read many books in my lifetime. No book has been, you know, if I could say it like this, no book has just illuminated and penetrated my being. I have had books that have had illumination here. Oh, wow, that's the formula. That's how it works or something. But I'm talking about revelation, lighting, penetrating my being, that other's knowledge. And you can read something and say, wow, I never knew that, and you know, have a light turn on in your brain. But there's no book that does it, and that I've had that, it doesn't compare to what I'm talking about, a book that just like jumps off the page almost and right into your being. It's amazing. Where God's speaking to us. And the only way we're getting that is spending time in His Word. Faith comes by hearing His Word. And you can't love until you have faith. But faith, true faith, isn't going to work without love. Because if you truly have faith, then God is in your life and His love is going to work in and through you. Do you see it? So we need to cultivate faith and love in our life. Make a practice of loving other people. Loving the ones that aren't lovable. And then you'll see the reality of Jesus Christ in your changed life. That when you are recognizing that everyone that's created is created in His image as beings who have a body, soul, and a spirit and a consciousness. And so rather than being hostile to them and harsh and judgmental and dismissing them, that we love them, we pray for them, we try to reach them if they'll allow you to try to reach them, to engage and interact. And it will make you different than the world. And that very attitude and those very kinds of actions, not compromising your faith, but doing it with respect, saying what you believe, standing for what you believe in a respectful way. And that doing that makes you different than the world, and many people in the world will notice that about you, and they'll be drawn to Jesus because they're seeing Jesus in you. They'll know there's something different about you because faith and love are working together, and it's producing the five S's. And I say, that is different. That is real than what I see anywhere else. And there are people drawn to Jesus. And then, as faith is growing and building and you're cultivating it, it's going to produce greater signs and wonders. And Jesus, as you've been reading in the last couple days, He alludes to that. Say, just believe for my work's sake. These signs testify that I'm sent from the Father. Well, they'll testify of Him when we see the works of Jesus happening in our own life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if they're not cultivated, know this, the results of service and patience are going to diminish. They'll become less and less. You have to, it's like faith, and one person says it's like this, faith is like a muscle. You know, if you work out, obviously, I'm not the most fit at the moment in my life. At one point in my life, I was very fit. I was an athlete, very fit in the military, won awards for physical fitness, accomplished a lot in sports, very fit. But now I'm not. And what I was able to do then, I cannot do now. And I'm looking to do something about that, improve my health, eating and exercise and stuff like that. And so I'm expecting to see some results as a result of it. And that's what this is. If you don't work that muscle, those muscles, they'll atrophy, they'll just deteriorate. If you ever seen someone paralyzed for a long period of time, their muscles atrophy, their legs shrink if they're not able to use those. Their arms might get real big because they're using a wheelchair. See, muscles that are worked will grow stronger and stronger, but muscles that aren't will diminish. And faith and love, if we're not working them, if we're not doing that service, they're walking them out, they'll diminish. So our big idea today is understanding faith is that faith, it works by love. Because if I genuinely have faith in its most fundamental, then I'm going to love God. And if I love God with everything in me, I'm going to love others. So faith and love, they work together. And we want to cultivate those in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for challenging us with your word. Thank you for the message of faith and of love and of how they work together. And Lord, I pray every one of us, myself included, are challenged to do some reflection, to do some introspection, looking into ourselves and just seeking you in quietness, in prayer, and saying, Lord, what would you like us to do? What is our call? What is it that you have for me to do right now? And Lord, that will move me into future things you have for me to do. Show me your will. And I commit to walking that out, Lord. I commit to doing what you've shown me to do. And I will be a person who cultivates my faith and cultivates the love of God in my life. And I'll do it by just spending intimate time with you in your word and in prayer and meditation on your word and who you are. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. If you're here today, and I think I know everybody, but I never want to take a chance. If you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, or you've been that person who says, you know, I have not been cultivating that. I'm that vacation Bible school person. I prayed a prayer a long time ago, and I've just counted on that being my ticket to heaven, but I have not been living out my faith. I haven't had the love of God in working in my life, and I want that relationship with him. Either case, whether you want to rededicate your life to God or whether you want to give your life to Jesus Christ for the very first time, all you have to do is just pray after me, and mean it from your own heart. Father God, I believe in you. And I believe that you sent your son Jesus to live a life and then die a death for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead and that he is God. He is at your right hand. And because I believe in you, my precious Father, and I believe in your Son, I pray right now for Jesus Christ, for his Spirit to come into my heart, to make me new, to forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry for missing the mark. I'm sorry for sinning. And I accept the price you paid. I believe right now you're cleansing me of all my sin. It's all washed away. And I am now a new person. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.